Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings, everyone. It is Sunday night, and that familiar tune means it's time for the weekend wrap. I'm waiting for my co-host, Mr. Jabron Clemen, and I'm going to get in touch with the champ and have him join us. I'm going to start the show on a very somber note. And that is one of the reasons I want to get the champion as well as Jabron before we start the show. Let me get the champion here first. We have all seen the experiences of this weekend, and I'm going to start the show with a very somber note, and as I said, these are strictly my views. They're not to be construed with Layman or Jabron. But before I start, let me welcome the champion. Champ, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, man, how y'all doing? What's up?
I'm doing great. As I said, Jabron, you're also here, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Gentlemen, as I said, I'm going to start the show on a very somber note. I tried to keep this show as far away from politics as I can. But we are all human beings, and I wanted to try to write something down on paper, but I didn't feel that it would be taken as heartfelt as I really want this to be taken. Being a former veteran and being 70 years old, I went through the 60s and the 70s, and as a young man, I watched a young Martin Luther King, and I understood it was a racial issue, but I didn't understand the roots. The only thing that I understood was someone was attacking me. They were putting sicking police dogs on people that looked like me. They were blowing up churches. And we had racist governors, openly racist governors, Governor Wallace, Governor Fathers. And then I went through a very troubled teenage years, and I ended up in the Army. Well, everyone wants to think that, you know, we were all comrades and soldiers in arms and whatnot. But just like there were soldiers that had peace signs on their helmets, there were also soldiers that had other signs on their helmets. And this is where symbols come in. You don't have to tell me how you feel about me if I see a Nazi swastika tattooed on your forearm. You have a hat, Jews, go home, blacks. I mean, you do not have to say words when I can see your feelings in front of me. Like they say, a picture paints a thousand words, okay? The events of this weekend, when you have people, torches, saying racist slurs and proclaiming what they stand for, is this not akin to the plantation where all of a sudden, you had people in robes, making sure that you didn't escape, putting that fear in you. Once again, we see this, and it is condoned by the leader of our country. And, I mean, we have to stand up to this. We cannot let this go. We have to find a way to unite our country. We have to find a way. It's past time for healing. If Martin Luther King and Malcolm X woke up this weekend and walked through the streets of Charlottesville or Boston or Dallas, would they really say that we have overcome? Would they really say that we have made any progress? And I'm going to stop there. And as I said, these are my views, not the views necessarily of anyone else. But I thought it was something that had to be said. With that saying, gentlemen, Jabron, we can start talking about sports and boxing, or you can add to that, or however you want to go. I'm going to kind of turn this over to you for a few minutes.
Well, you made definitely a great point. I'm not going to dive into that because, I mean, we can go on for hours about that. But, I agree with you. We must come up with some way, and it's heartfelt. And my heart just goes out to those that fallen victim to a lot of these acts that have gone on within the last week. And that's all I'm going to touch on that. But before I get into anything, Champ, is there anything you would like to elaborate on over there?
Well, I got something to say, man, because I am, in my mind, one of the people that I try to stand up and try to help pick up my race of people, my nationality, Negroes especially. I agree with everything that you said, JK, but I have to revert back to the Bible, not the Bible that the preacher tell you about, because I can show you a million different ways that preachers use the Bible to fit their own agendas, and I think we all know that. But I'm talking about what God, Most High, the God of Israel, what he gave, which was the first five books he actually gave to Negroes, but nobody knows it because our history has been stolen. That's why they only teach you that you're descendants of slaves, but they don't tell you that you were the people that were brought here on slaves, on slave ships, just like the Bible predicted when he said in Genesis 15 and 13, when he told Abraham, he said, your seed was going to be going into captivity again. Well, captivity is not slavery. That's why God is mad at the people that enslaved us, according to the Bible. But like I said, we don't really want to go there because people have to understand. And I, for a long time, I used to be upset, like Donald Trump. But now, everything he do, I'm actually glad that he's done. Because the only way we're going to get change in this country is for, obviously, the worst to come out. And the worst is what we know about a lot of people who support Donald Trump. They wear those swastikas. The only way change is going to be made is if a fire comes through here and burn up everything, because a tree, a forest, don't need to regrow itself bigger and beautiful if it's already standing. So the little grass that we're standing in right now, it got to be burnt up. I'm just going to say it. I'm not going to use my words. I'm going to tell you, I said the Lord, because God said that this is going to happen. God said he was going to allow an Antichrist. And I'm not saying he's the Antichrist, but I'm saying he, in my opinion, in my own personal opinion, he's one of the Antichrists. Why? Because he's bringing disruption. He's bringing the worst out of people. I mean, people that we work with, people that we went to school with, people we live next to. You wouldn't understand how much they really felt about you until somebody like Trump actually came along and gave them courage to come out to say, let's make America great, when we know it ain't never been great for us. And when they was talking about this and talking about that, and let's celebrate fireworks the 4th of July, we were slaves. So if you want to have that conversation with me, be prepared. But thus said the Lord, because I'm not going to give you my words. I'm going to tell you what he said, like in Deuteronomy 28 and 68, when he said we was going to be brought to America. Basically, he said we was going to go to a land and we was going to be sold for bondsmen and bondswomen. First of all, we were the first insurance company. The only reason why they exist today was because the first insurance policy they ever took out was on slaves coming to America. So I'm saying to people, stop being afraid of these times that we're in, because you know, like I know, when you put something into a fire, it's either going to destroy it or it's going to make it better. And the only way to purify things is to put it in fire. And a lot of these people, especially my own people, Negroes, they need to be put in this fire. Because until they wake up, while they're always making excuses for people like Donald Trump, who, I mean, hey, man, his father was arrested being part of the Klan. Ain't nobody never said nothing about that. I mean, this man said, grab him by the pussy. God forbid had a black man, Obama, had said that. He, what? President? Never. I mean, so we live in a racist society that we call white supremacy, because and this is me talking. This ain't your show. This ain't JK. This ain't Jabron. This is Layman Brewster talking from the standpoint of what I know, what I've researched, what I can prove, and everything I say, hope somebody called me out on, because I will prove it without a shadow of a doubt. But anyway, in Deuteronomy 28:68, he said, and the Lord shall bring thee again into Egypt. Now, everybody who knows the Bible knows Egypt is not a country. The name of Egypt, as we know it today, was called Kemet, but the Europeans called it Egypt. But they said the second Egypt. So if you look on the dollar, all the pyramids come from Egypt. If you look on the dollar, the same eagle is the same eagle that America uses. So we know that this is the second Egypt, because he said in Deuteronomy 20, he said to Egypt again with ships. Now, who's been to a country by ships shackled down? Us. He said, by way whereof I spoke up to thee, that thou shalt see it no more. See what no more? See the land that used to actually belong to us before the people who claimed to be us took it? Yeah, we won't even go there with Revelations 2 and 9. Then he said, you should be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man should buy you. I don't remember nobody from no part of no country ever coming to America buying us out of slavery. I do remember us being bondmen and bondwomen, because my great grandparents were slaves and people like that. And so who was our enemy? Well, hey, man, if I got to tell you that, then, you know, we don't need to have this conversation. Again, I'm not pointing a finger at individuals. I'm personally talking about what God said. This is in the Bible. Don't take my word for it. And the thing I always say, if you really want to know who you are as a Negro, because, see, people got this misconception that we're Africans. But here's the thing. How could we be Africans when we – nobody ever came over here with cuts on their bodies like they have for the rituals that they always – nobody came over here with paints in their lips and all those things. We never heard, seen, drawn pictures, none of that, because we were not Hemetic Africans, which were the descendants of Ham. We are Semitic, which are the descendants of Shem, which are the ones that actually lived in North Africa before 1902, when they actually changed it to Middle East to throw us off the track of who we really are as a people, because they never wanted us to wake up. So, with that being said, to make a long story short, all of this that is happening, all this racism is great. All this hatred is great, because I'd rather know who you are so that I don't have to be looking over my shoulder that thinking you're my friend, thinking you're my brother. And at the same time, you know and I know the only time black people come together is when black people get killed, and then they want to come together. So if that's what it takes for people to get killed, more of our brothers and sisters out here in these streets to die, well, so be it. Because at the end of the day, he said only a third of Israel was going to make it into the kingdom. So if you hold up three fingers and put down two, that's all that's going to make it into the kingdom. But, you know, I'll stop there because you have a boxing show. I'm your guest, and I don't mean to bring all this, but I'm just saying, if you really want to know the truth, then you're talking to the right dude, because I'm not going to sugarcoat it, because I'm saying, thus says the Lord. These ain't my words. This is what the Bible says.
Well, hey, Layman, like I said, man, you know, this, I follow you on Facebook, so, you know, I know a lot of the knowledge that you put out there. Like I said, you know, a lot of people don't know who they are or have lost track of who they are. That being said, that's my tirade for the day. That's the champ's 50 cent. I've got to give him more than two. So we're going to start talking a little bit of boxing. As a matter of fact, I'm watching the replay of the top-ranked broadcast last night with Terrence Crawford. But we did have some events that took place before Terrence Crawford. So, Jabron, why don't you kind of take us through the weekend there, my man?
Well, we had some gentlemen stepping back in the ring that haven't been in the ring in a while, and that is Mr. Colorado Mike Alvarado. He came out victorious in his fight, but unfortunately, I think him and his team really needs to evaluate, you know, his career. You know, he's been in some wars, and last night, up until he got the stoppage, I had him losing the fight. He was really taking some punishment. And they say the last thing they go is your power. So basically, you know, that's all that he's basically fighting off of, because it's not basically fundamentally his skills. So we also had Dillian White and Brian Jennings on the card. They both had stoppages also. It was kind of sad to see that it was, like, nobody there doing the Dillian White fight. I'm just putting myself in his shoes, coming from the UK, coming from, you know, 12 and 20,000 seat arenas. That's like on a smaller scale. You ain't talking in the big 50 and 80,000 stadiums that they got over there. So, that was a little, probably a disappointment for him to be making a U.S. debut. But we shall see what his team, Frank Warren, is going to do as far as the future. And that's all about it as far as the undercard goes. And I know you might want to chime in on that, JK. Did you get the chance to see any of those fights?
I didn't get to see any of the Friday night fights, unfortunately. I did, as I said, get a chance to watch the undercard of the Crawford show. I really wanted to see Dillian White. I was getting ready to pull it up here on the video when I all of a sudden had a thought about our current situation. But Layman, did you get a chance to watch any of Friday night's action or the undercard last night?
I did not. Only fight that I really cared to watch, to be honest with you, was the main event yesterday, Terrence Crawford.
Okay. Jabron, after all of the, I don't want to say hype, but at least, you know, as you said, it had to be kind of underwhelming for him to make his U.S. debut. But what did you think about his performance, and how do you, you know, book him against, you know, some of the other heavyweights?
I think that, you know, he could definitely give up some big challenges for the top heavyweights. But far as, like, his conditioning and his physique, I think he needs to focus a little bit more on that. And but I can say he can sell a fight. Like, you know, he brings that drama show. So definitely if they get him matched up with a good opponent, I think that he could definitely sell a fight, you know, far as his character-wise.
I was thinking about a possible matchup between him and Dominic Brazil. What do you think?
Yeah, that'll definitely be a good fight because Dominic, you know, he has a lot of heart. I think that's the biggest part of his game is he has a lot of heart and determination. You know, I just wish he would just focus a little more on his conditioning. And because he has a nice little pop, and he has a nice little stiff jab also. So if he could work a little bit more on his conditioning, to be a big guy like he is, he's a tall guy, a little chubby there. He got fairly decent footwork to be a big guy, to be honest with you, the way he maneuvers around the ring. So if he could definitely focus on his conditioning, man, he can definitely build himself back up and get himself for one of those title shots.
Layman, what do you think about Dominic? I know you've seen him a couple times, right?
Yeah. You know, I think he's continuing to improve. How much, I can't really say. He's shown that he's got heart. You know, he's shown that he's tough. And, you know, and today, man, you know, it's really hard to judge a fighter because of the opposition that's out there for him to actually face, man. It don't really tell us very much of anything. So, it, you know what, man, I can't really say what I really think about him until, you know, I don't know. I really don't even think he's seasoned enough really to make a fair judgment. I think he's a game fighter. I think he's a great contender. But do I think he's championship material? No, not from what I've seen. But, yeah, he's tough. He wants it. He's a big man, but this is the era of big man, so I just have to give all respect for him And just wishing the best on his career. You know, hopefully he'll continue to develop.
Yeah, most definitely about that. Now, did you get a chance to watch the young Shakur Stevens, Stevenson, Javon?
You know what? I didn't, and it's so crazy. I don't know how I missed that fight. I don't know what I was doing. I don't know how I missed it. It was so much going on, man. I had my weekend was crazy, but yeah, I don't know, but I read up on it, and you know, from what I read and what the response I'm hearing from a lot of the different experts and stuff, you know, he's showing improvement, and it's showing that he's hungry and he's ready, you know. I don't think they should, you know, rush him along. He's still young, you know. Just bring him along, get him some, you know, build up his resume slowly but surely, and just groom him like pretty much like they did Canelo in a sense, you know. They groom Canelo along.
Well, you have to remember, you know, his co-manager is Andre Ward, so. You know, it's not like I mean, even though you don't know why, there's not really a whole lot of people banging on Andre's door or you know, that of the guys that he trains. I'm imagine that you know, if there's an Andre connection, I would imagine somewhere down the line is also. You know, Virgil has some type of advisory, you know, position or maybe. But the good thing is that he's from Newark. And, you know, Newark would be wide open for him, just like it was Zab Judah. So, you know, he's in a very good boxing environment. The people know this, they're boxing there, so it's a very good place for him to start his career. Layman, are you familiar? I know he's not, you know, one of the big men, but are you familiar with this young man at all? He's only had 3 fights, I believe.
And you're speaking of who?
Shakur Stevens. He was named after Tupac.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, I believe he was a bronze medalist. Was it a bronze medalist in the Olympics, Jabron?
I think it was silver. It might have been bronze.
Silver?
I'm not sure. It might have been silver. But he's a medalist, and he signed with Top Rank, and he's being co-managed by Andre Ward and, Joseph Prince. And, Floyd Mayweather was trying to sign him right out of the Olympics, but for some reason that fell apart and he decided to go with Bob.
Yeah,
I remember there was
something about Floyd was supposed to go and or he went to Brazil to sign him, but he ended up signing another fighter, and that was why Shakur decided to go with Top Rank instead. Let's talk a little bit about the light heavyweight preview. This guy was ranked number 10. They call him the Nail, and he's ranked number 10 by most of the organizations. I believe he now has all of the NABF and all of the belts that are necessary in order for him to be the next, I'm pretty sure he has to be somebody's mandatory. But Layman, did you get a chance to watch this light heavyweight prelim before Crawford?
I did not, man. I did not. I wanted to, but I couldn't make it home fast enough.
LeBron, you know, I mean, they tout this guy as number 10 in the world. The guy that he fought, I can't say that I was overwhelmed by his skills. I believe that was his name. I think he maybe needs to fight maybe a named opponent. What was your feelings about the number 10 light heavyweight in the world?
I mean, the thing is, I haven't really seen him fight before that, so it's kind of hard for me to, like, kind of judge his scale, like, if he's improving or not. But I think he definitely need to get some more fights under him before he want to try to step into the upper echelon of that division.
I seriously want to know how he got to number 10. The light heavyweight division is full of talent. And I didn't feel it. You know what I mean? I just, number 10, you know, maybe number 20, 25, you know, I mean, to me that either signals a lack of competition within the light heavyweight division, or, you know, someone, you know, just where did those rankings come from?
Well, who knows?
let's talk about the fight that you did see. And then after we talk about that, we have to discuss the belts and the importance. So, Champ, first of all, your observation on Bud.
You know what, man? He's just a true professional, man. And you know what? It's really hard for me to bring to words for you to really understand what I mean, because, like, I've been doing it so long, I understand it. He has an algorithm about him that coincides with his height, with his style, with his mind frame. What his speed, what his power, and he uses that in such a rhythm that he's able to overcome everybody he fights. He's able to make those adjustments. He's very smart. He uses his jab. He's patient. He takes a chance, and he's just and it's funny, man, because I was just telling a friend last night as we was watching the fight, he, to me, is a throwback fighter from, I would say, somewhere around the early to late 80s. You know, he's that type of guy, maybe even early 90s, but he really, his style, man, his presence, his ring presence, his ring generalship, you know, he's a tremendous fighter, man. He really, really is. I mean, he ain't out there trying to be, you know, flashy. He wants to get the job done, and that's what he does, man. He took this dude out, man. He really made it look like it was just another day at the office. With a body shot. A body shot of all I mean, he hit another world champion with a body shot, and as a world champion, you should never get stopped by a body shot, ever, because if you don't know how to keep your elbows close to you, even when you're punching, then you don't need to be a fighter, and you especially don't need to have a title. And the fact that he did both, that is so impressive.
DeBron, what were your thoughts on Bud's performance?
I mean, it was great. It showed his ring IQ. You know, he sat in the first round pretty much most of the round, was trying to get adjusted to Ndongo's timing. And it was like once he got his timing, the fight was over. Once he seen this guy rhythm, the rhythm that he was in, it's like, oh, okay, all right, right, all right. Now I'm in sync with his rhythm. Now I'm going to throw him off. So to not only to throw a body shot, but to throw in combination. It wasn't one punch. It was set up by the left. So that was just, it was great. But I'm sorry I have to be the bad apple, but Bud is great. He is great. You know, he's great. But once again, who have you really beaten? You might got four belts, but who have you really beaten? Leading up to this fight, you said your toughest test was Gamboa. So really? You know, so before everybody jump on the bandwagon, he's the greatest, he's the number one pound for pound. Yeah, he made a great accomplishment. He went through two weight divisions. But who did he fight? You know, now we're about to find out who Terrence Crawford is, because he's going into the lion's den, because he's going to vacate those four belts, and he's going to go to 47. Because there's nobody else at 40, unless Mikey decides to hang around the 40 division and challenge for that undisputed championship with Crawford. But if not, he will vacate and go to 47, and then he'll be stepping into the lion's den with the Keith Thurmans, the Kell Brooks, the Danny Garcias, the Sean Porters, the Earl Spences. So we're about to find out who Bud really is.
Yeah, I was getting ready to bring up that point, you know, that it seemed like this was going to be his last fight at 140, especially since it was this time it was harder for him to make weight. DeBron brings up a very valid point here now. You know, he's going up to 147, and there's some legitimate names up there as opposed to 140. What do you think about his moving up? And even before that, let's start there, and then we'll get into the question of the belts. What do you think about Terrence moving up to that 147, and how do you think he'll fare? Since you know how to watch him from a different angle than the average fan.
Well, I'm gonna say this, man. I told you guys, when I was first speaking about him a minute ago, I said everything that he's doing right now is matching up great. The algorithm, the level that he's on, is perfect for him. Now, what you're basically saying is that he is going to go up to a weight where now he has to change his algorithm. Because what worked at 140 ain't going to work at 147. So you're going to see what he's really made of, and he's going to see what he's really made of, because that division is a loaded deck full of spades. And so we're going to see, man. I mean, it's going to be interesting. And I think it's going to be great for boxing for him to actually do it. But will his success be as great as it is at 140? So I can't say why he's going up. Maybe it's because, you know, age, you know, your body gets heavier and it gets harder to make that weight. And, you know, you don't want to be struggling to have yourself weak. But if he could stay at 140, I definitely think that he should, man, because he's unopposed there. But he got to do, you know, what he think is best for him. But at 147, he's in there, man, with probably the hardest division to be in boxing today. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very, very interesting. Do I think he'll do as well as he did at 140? No, I do not, because he's in there with some killers just like himself. But, you know, the cream always rises to the top. But who knows? He may even go to another level on it. So we just don't know at the end of the day.
Yeah, but, you know, I think from this way, you know, and Terrence is usually one that comes in prepared. Weight is no problem. This is the first time I think it has been. And I think, as you said, Raymond, you know, sometimes as you get older, you know, I'm kind of like Jabron, you know, I don't think that he's going to be able to make 140 anymore. And should he stay at 140 when, you know, I mean, the big money now would be at 147. Go ahead, Jabron.
Well, got to be the sour apple again. So that sounded great for casual fans. You know, those great names, the Thurmans, the Garcias, you know, the Earl Spencers and all that. But let's get down to the hardcore fans, the real deal, the politics of the boxing world. Now, this is the next question. We're talking about Terrence being the real deal. Will he be allowed to be the real deal? Will we see Bob Arum basically put the handcuffs on Crawford as he did Timothy Bradley? Because as you know, at the lower weight classes, Bob put him in there with some challenges. But if you notice, a lot of the biggest challenges was right before he got with Bob when he was with Shaw. So will Bob throw Terrence Crawford into the fire? Because you know he wants to keep the money in his pocket. So Terrence Crawford would end up fighting guys like the Jeff Horns or a washed up Pacquiao or a Jesse Vargas. You know, those top-ranked guys in the stable. But he'll have to go across the aisle to Uncle Al Heyman for the big fight. Yes, they've done business in the past, but it wasn't two A-side fighters. It was, you know, Al throwing him like a C-class or a B-minus fighter. But you haven't seen them do business with two A-side fighters. So that's a big question that will have to be answered also.
Raymond, you know, now perfect segue because I can ask you two questions. Now, we talk about him having the four belts. What does that actually mean other than And this isn't for the casual fan, you know, like, you know, the casual fan, it looks great, whatnot. But getting down into the politics, like these two questions are going to be, what do these four belts actually mean to the politics of boxing other than for sanctioning fees? And as Jabron was alluding to, other than you know, how do you think the politics of Top Rank and Uncle Al working together? I don't. I mean, do you see the politics of boxing? As Jabron says, you know, possibly, you know, rearing its ugly head with a Pacquiao, which I'm sure, you know, the one thing about Pacquiao, he does put butts in seats, so that could possibly be something that even though it's a washed up version of Pacquiao, at least it would get a big payday, and Bud has, you know, expressed wanting to fight Pacquiao, but as we said, how do these four belts play into the politics of boxing, and how does the politics possibly hinder Terrence Crawford from going on to be the best fighter or champion that he could be?
Well, at the end of the day, man, let's think about what is this all about. This is all about money. And like I always say, Wu-Tang Clan said it best when they said, "King, cash rules everything around me." Each belt in itself is going to bring a plethora of followers that recognize one belt over the other. So by him having all these belts, it's like you having all of the colors of the rainbow in the sky for everybody to see. And so it's the lure of it that's going to bring people to it. Now the politics of it is, can Mr. Heyman and Mr.
Arrow.
Can they? Yes. Thank you. Can they, you know, because when it comes down to it, it comes down to ego a lot of times, especially between two wealthy guys, two successful people. It comes down to ego, what willing to give or take. I'm not necessarily worried about the sanctioning fees, because when you're undisputed champion, you're pretty much writing your own blank check. You know, you're filling out your check, and you're pretty much picking who you want to fight. You're really on top of the world, but at the same time, it still comes down to the people that are your advisors, that are your managers, and your promoters. And so, a lot of times, it don't necessarily be the fighter as much as it be his management. Or it could be his promoters not seeing eye to eye, because you're going to have their lawyers meet their lawyers, and then both lawyers are going to come to the table with their egos. And you know what? Well, no, and this, and no, and that. And so a lot of things fall to the wayside just based on the pride of men, which the Bible talks about. But again, at the end of the day, it's really going to come down to money. When we sit here and talk about all these things, it's going to come down to money. Who can let their ego down to give a little bit to get a lot? And sometimes when you got money, you ain't willing to give nothing.
Yeah, the thing about, I mean, we've seen, I think, you know, I hate to say it, but it, you know, if you go back to dealings with Bob Arum, it would seem like it would be more of his ego that would seem to get in the way. I mean, it does seem like, you know, Uncle Al is about the money, but he's also about his fighters. So but I think in this case, Uncle Al is in the driver's seat, and Bob in his latter days here seems to be more about the money than about the ego. 10 years ago, I don't think there would have been any chance of him dealing with Uncle Al. But people get older, and he wanted it. Right now, like you said, it's all about the money. So, Jabron, you agree with that? Anything else you want to bring up, Mr. Harbinger of Bad News?
Something that was interesting that I had brought up a couple of shows ago about maybe it was a little rumor there that possibility that Andre Ward was going to be possibly leaving Roc Nation and going with Bob Arum. So to see him on the telecast and calling the fight and saying that his contract with HBO has expired. He's a free agent. So maybe we could see Andre Ward with Mr. Arum.
Layman, first of all, we've all known that, Andre, at least in my opinion, hasn't been getting the publicity that he deserves. He's been rather quiet, even though he's had, contracts with HBO and whatnot. Do you think Jabron said, we saw him on the Top Rank broadcast last night. He seemed like he was very comfortable and was, was possibly looking to make somewhat of a silent statement. But do you think that's a good matchup, Top Rank and Andre? I mean, do you think that we might, we can't see a step backwards, but I mean, doesn't Andre need to be with someone that's possibly going to get him more of a public share in the latter part of his career?
Do I believe that he's going to need somebody to give him a public cheer in the latter part of his career? No, I do not think so because, everybody knows who he is in the sport. He definitely has a great name, and I don't really think that he needs Top Rank to help make his name any bigger. I think that he needs Top Rank to maybe help him to get bigger fights. That would be my guess. I don't know, man, because this ain't a question that's ever really crossed my mind in terms of which way Andre was gonna go at this point in his life, because I know he spent so many years on the shelf in lawsuits and things like that, man. I don't know. I wish that he could come over to Al and let Al take over his career to really help him to, get the success that he deserves, in my opinion. But, that's my opinion. I don't know.
Well, that's why we have you on the show, for your opinion. So, that's what we want. That's all we can all do is give our opinion. None of us are there signing the contract or in Andre's inner circle. I know why you would want him to sign with Uncle Al, but once again, Jabron, when you talk about Clarence, when you talk about Terrence being locked into top right, and where does he go from there? Where would Andre go as a light heavy with top right? I mean, he would have to work with all of the other organizations because does top rank have another light heavyweight other than the Mayo?
That I'm not sure. That's a very good question. I have to check that out. But no. Oh, I got an answer to that question. I ain't even got to check. You know why? Because 175 isn't Andre Ward focused right now. He's really focusing on possibly the cruiserweight or heavyweight. So that's where his focus is at, really.
Well, I would not want to see him as a heavyweight. And that's just, you know, I'm going to do a Langdon Brewster here. That's just my opinion. You know,
but the thing is, it's just about the opponent, the right fight. Like, I didn't want to see my boy Roy Jones in there with no real killer. You know, I love Roy. So that John Ruiz fight was the perfect fight. It was like, is a proven fighter, you know, the guy that been in some great fights. He's actually beaten some credible opponents like Holyfield. So, yeah, boom. And at the time, it was for his belt because he had the belt. That was great. So possibly if he could get a fight with, like I said, if they do a Tony Bellew fight at heavyweight, I would give him a great chance of actually winning the fight.
Well, I mean, right now you have Luis Ortiz, Deontay Wilder, and Anthony Joshua all holding belts. So, anything is possible down the line. Cruiserweight, I could see,
I wanted to rebuttal what Champ was talking about when he was like, he was talking about Andre signing with Al. You know, I like Al. Thing is, it's for some reason, it's like a guy get a big fight or a proven fight, and then you only see him once a year. You don't hear from him no more. You know, and that's the thing. How are you supposed to stay relevant fighting once a year? Look at it.
That's all contract negotiation.
That's the contract negotiation?
Yeah, because, you know, you have to set minimums for your purchase, and you know, you just have to be that type of fighter. With the type of mindset that you want to stay busy, because you can stay busy as you want. You know, a lot of these guys, they get these, you don't see them a lot, not because of the manager all the time or even a promoter sometimes, but because sometimes they want to take that money that they just made and they want to live a little bit. And I've seen that happen a whole lot of times.
Well, I mean, that's true. They can do that. But I don't see all of them doing that. Like, okay, what happened to Lamont Peterson? We ain't heard nothing about Lamont. And the boy that won a part of the welterweight championship, you ain't heard nothing about him. He on the milk carton. You ain't getting no interviews from him. You don't see him nowhere. You ain't heard about no upcoming fight, nothing. Like, you know, Danny Garcia lost to Thurman. He ain't where he at on a milk cart. Only thing he did, he commentated a couple weeks ago on a televised PBC card. That was it. Besides that, you ain't
but
heard from Danny.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We can't blame that on a manager or a promoter. We don't know. It could be personal. You know, it could just be of his own choice. I think until we hear from him, we shouldn't draw any conclusions because, you know, we're all just speculating.
No, I ain't speculating. I'm going off the facts of what I'm seeing. Like, over the last 3 years, it's like certain fighters, once they win or lose, it's like you don't see them no more. You don't see them.
Well,
it was like, look at Porter.
No.
He sat forever. Thurman. This going to be the, second or third year in a row? I understand he got an injury now, but I even said it before he got the injury that he wasn't going to probably fight no more in 17. Well, we had the show about it.
Okay. Well, I can't identify exactly what it is because I really don't know, so I don't want to be looking for it in the dark because I don't have a flashlight.
we do have some, you know, once again, you know, you can criticize Uncle Howard all you want, but we have a fight this week on the 22nd, which I believe is Tuesday, you know, and although these aren't household names, they're from Las Vegas, and they're free on cable TV, Fox Sports 1. As you can see, Fox Sports 1 is actually trying to establish itself there. It's becoming a very good competitor to the big boys over there at Disney and ESPN. But we do have Ishae Smith, Ashley Theoplane, guys that the casual fan rather knows a little bit about. Of course, I'm sure it takes a hardcore fan to know who these little guys are here. At bantamweight and lightweight, they're not household names. Jamel Herring, he wants to become one, but this is possibly it'll probably end up being a 10-rounder. Ishae Smith is having a 10-rounder, but it's a Tuesday night, free night of boxing. Once again, courtesy of Uncle Al, your thoughts, Jabron, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's always great to see boxing, and you know, I wasn't, like, trying to criticize Al, like, in the sense of he's horrible. I was just speaking on basically prize fighting, like, at the elite level, you know, it's like those guys sit on the shelf. But that's great. Ashley Theoplane, you know, tough guy, little tough guy, shows a lot of heart. So I can't wait to see the fight Tuesday if I don't end up getting too caught up into the show and forgetting to turn the TV on.
You mentioned Porter. How disappointed were you to see that Porter fight fall off the prelim of Floyd McGregor fight?
My heart goes out to him and his family. You know, they're going through a difficult time right now. But, you know, I was more disappointed not as in, oh, not seeing him. I was more disappointed for Sean Porter because that was an opportunity for him to get more exposure, you know, to get his brand out there, for to get more eyeballs on him. And, you know, that would have just been a great, great opportunity. And is on free television. So that would have just an opportunity just missed up on. But with that being said, it seems that possibly him and Danny team supposed to start some negotiating coming here in the next couple of weeks. So after they settle their family issues, not issues, but, you know, they had death in their family. So once they that is settled and they can focus on that promotion, possibly for, I think they said, late November, early December.
Yeah. Langan, I know, you know, you're always willing to plug a good word in there for Uncle Al. So, hey, man, what do you think? We got PBC twice this week, Tuesday and Friday. It seems like for those that have a lot of criticism, it does seem like, you know, it might not be HBO or Showtime, or, you know, but, he seems to be giving the fans what they want.
Yeah, I mean, well, boxing was at its height, in my opinion, was when fights used to come on worldwide or sports and things like that, man. And it was just very exciting. You know, boxing was in a great era at that point. And just to see somebody like Al doing it again, man, I think it's incredible. I think it's an incredible show of a person who's not trying to be greedy, not trying to go to pay-per-view every chance they get. You know, everybody want to make some money, but at the same time, we live in a world where money just ain't growing on trees like that, and people have to take what they can get. And just for them to be able to have access to non-premium channels, you know, that gives them a greater chance at watching these fighters and watching these up-and-coming fights. Because though you may or may not know the names of some of these guys, one thing you're going to see is you're going to see somebody out there that has potential of being a world champion. And that's what I like to look forward to, because some of these guys I don't know, but I know that they have promise, they have hope. And sometimes all people need is just a chance. And I'm proud of Al for it. Nobody else is there, you know. I mean, you think about all the other people that's been in this sport forever. They could have been and done it. Ain't nobody did it. But now that he's doing it, you know, you got people want to hate on him. And, you know, all he's doing is the best that he can. And, you know, just I say, hey, either, you know, you have to ride with a person sometime like a roller coaster. Sometimes you're going to be up. Sometimes you're going to be down. Look at the bigger picture. Look at where it's going and the potential that it has to grow into. So that's my outlook.
Yeah, I definitely hear you there. Devon, you know, Friday night fights. Once again, you know, we saw, you know, you know, two weeks in a row, we're going to have Friday night fights. What did you think of the deal that Golden Boy has made with the ESPN? We haven't seen a lot of those come to fruition yet, but do you think there's going to be kind of a seamless transition with Golden Boy and possibly a collaboration between Golden Boy and PBC to make Friday night fights a success again. What do you think about that?
You know what? I think the competition is great. You know, you got Uncle Al doing the PBC. Then you got De La Hoya, you know, on ESPN. And now you also have Bob Arum is doing his thing on ESPN. And we cannot leave out Mr. Richard Schaefer is back on the scene, if y'all don't know, with his promotional company. And it's talks to make some big splash news coming soon. So soon as I get that news, I'll definitely keep our fans updated on that.
Okay. Let's see. Jabron, I know, you know, it's only a few weeks away from the big debacle. Your thoughts on the undercard, free as well as pay-per-view. Do you think, you know, that even without watching the great debacle, that the casual fan will be satisfied with the free part, and it'll also at least satisfy the appetite of the hardcore boxing fan, but at the minimum seat being $3,500, you kind of get the, you know, when you put that against the $100 or $110, whatever the pay-per-view is going to be, that certainly comes out to be the bigger bargain. But your thoughts on this, man? I mean, do you see any way for this fight to be financially successful? And did Floyd, do you think that perhaps Floyd misplayed his hand trying to do this before the Canelo fight?
No. No, I think it was perfect timing. As you can see, it's really no major press on the Golovkin fight. And I don't understand why they want to do that first episode of the 24/7 that night, because nobody's going to be paying attention to that. You know, they're going to be watching either the Floyd Mayweather fight. And you know what? The fans are not losing on that day. The fans are winning because I'm sorry that I overlooked it. We have free boxing on all day on August 26th, this coming weekend. We have the Fox, regular Fox, not Fox Sports 1, but regular Fox will be having the prelims on there. And we can't forget on ESPN, there will be Miguel Cotto versus Kamagai, and who else is on that undercard? So we're still winning. Boxing is still winning. You got Ray Vargas also on the undercard of the Miguel Cotto. He's fighting Ronnie Rios, and boxing is just winning, man. Some people want to down the Floyd Mayweather thing. But it's a big event. It's a big event to get the casuals and the crossover, the MMA fans over to boxing. And I just think it's going to be a great day to be a contact sport fan.
Layman, what happens if McGregor wins this fight?
I mean, hey, man, there's always a what-if. That is true. You know, in reality, there's a what-if. But, if he wins the fight, if he manages to win for whatever unforeseen reason, and, you know, it's see a black guy on boxing, and it really hurts his heart. In every way you could think of, I would say, but you know, I don't see that happening unless, you know, lightning just strikes. You know, anything can happen, anything is possible, but I just don't see it. I mean, I don't. I've tried to look at it from every way. The only way I could look at it is like when what was that movie where they what was remember JJ from Good Times? He was a boxer, Bootney Farnsworth or something, and he hypnotized the dude. And,
yeah. Oh yeah.
I just can't see it, man. Like I just, you know, it's like I think that I could tell you I'd have a better chance of winning a lottery than Floyd losing this fight, man. I just honestly don't see Floyd losing this fight. Even if Floyd wasn't in shape, I don't see Floyd losing this fight, and we know Floyd will be in shape. Like, this fight, to me, is a fight that Conor McGregor knows he can't win. Floyd knows he can't win. But from a financial standpoint, it makes all the sense in the world, because boxing has never, ever been to this height. MMA has never, ever been to this height where you have the best of both worlds of MMA and boxing, the two top in each sport, stepping into a square ring. This is incredible. It's unheard of. And just based on what it is, not what we want it to be, that's worth going to see. I mean, I can say it all day. Yeah, I know Floyd's gonna win, but just to see how he's gonna win, see how Conor McGregor is gonna react when he gets hit. I mean, see, a lot of people, they so used to seeing the businessman Floyd Mayweather out there doing what he got to do to win, which is the art of hitting without getting hit. Well, he's basically in there with a circus clown. I mean, did you see the dude last week when he was sparring? Did you see the way he was moving his hands even when he was sparring? Did you see the way that he was shadow boxing? And did you see his version of the rope-a-dope or Muhammad Ali show? I mean, dude, really? Like, seriously, man. Like seriously. If this guy can if this guy beats Floyd, then, you know, I don't know what to say. It'll be a greater upset to me if Buster Douglas knocked out Mike Tyson. Because a lot of people I spoke to that actually knew boxing said they thought that Buster Douglas could beat Mike Tyson. But this fight right here, again, I have to quote Don King, his chances are slim to none, and slim is out of town.
Jabron, I'm gonna ask you, would carrying McGregor the full fight? I mean the full, was it 12 rounds, would that be a victory for McGregor and MMA as well, even though they could lose the fight? In other words, does Floyd have as much to lose if Conor McGregor does the full fight?
No, because depending on how competitive it is, are you just saying he lasts 12 rounds, or he actually is competitive from 12 rounds? Are we talking Marquez versus Floyd or Madonna versus Floyd?
Marquez.
Oh no, no. I mean, it just everybody know Floyd. You know, in the streets, people know, like, oh, Floyd ain't really knocking nobody out. So it's to be, in a sense, kind of expected, you know. But to rebuttal on what the champ was saying, since I've been the Skip Bayless today on the show, if McGregor wins, and you saying it would be bad for boxing, my opinion would, I think it would be good for boxing in the sense of far as the fans and the possibility of in the future, it will build a confidence in the elite top MMA fighters to test the waters in boxing, and that will make or more big events in the future.
I hear what you're saying, man. Yeah, I mean, I hear that. I hear that, but you know what I know, there's always been so much friction, if you will, in the minds of MMA fighters toward boxers, thinking that they were better than us when we know they're not better than us. I mean, hey, if it was anything outside of using our hands, okay, and footwork, well, yeah, man, you got to give them their props. But when it comes to this hand thing, this is what we focus solely on. So in my opinion, as a living soul of boxing, I'm telling you, it would hurt the sport, in my opinion. Like all the great fighters from Jack Johnson to Joe Louis, Muhammad Ali, I believe they turn over in their grave. And that's just my spin on it. I believe they turn over in their grave because it's something that should never happen. The best fighter, one of the best fighters of all times, he's not just any fighter, he's one of the best fighters of all times, to lose to a guy that has not even had one amateur fight, man, I mean, do you understand that's like me, okay? In the hood, I had a 10 speed, I used to ride it to school, right? And people in the neighborhood knew that I was pretty good on it. But then all of a sudden, I get a chance to go to the Tour de France and take on the very best winner, Lance Armstrong, and I beat him. Do you understand what that does, what that says? So that's the way I'm looking at this thing, man. This is pride on the line. This is honor on the line. You know, this ain't Floyd taking on Conor McGregor. This is boxing taking on MMA at the end of the day, which a lot of people before MMA were into boxing, but now they've made this transition of being into MMA because it works their taste buds better. So that's what I have to say.
You got me in tears, champ. You got me over here dying. I'm dying. That was a great analogy.
I tell you, that's why we love you. That's why we love you. You can't hear this anywhere else.
At 10 speed in the hood, ain't going to beat Lance Armstrong.
Exactly. I mean, but think about it, though. Think about it.
You couldn't have said it any better.
I mean, think about it, man. I mean, it dawned on me when somebody put a picture up of Floyd and all the champions he's beat and put up his amateur record, and then they put up Conor McGregor, which is just a blank page. And I was just like, wow. Dude, Floyd can't lose to this dude. You hear me? Because, like I say, man, Floyd lose to this dude, man, it is the biggest black eye in boxing history, to me.
Hey, champ, like I said, we couldn't script it any better if I had sent it to you. So, you know.
That's why I love playing tennis with the champ. I love going back and forth with him, man. I love it. It's nothing but love, man.
Oh, man. But hey, man, you know, as usual, you know, time flies when you're having fun. Let's try to get down. Let's there's not really a whole lot to talk about.
The Rigal fight's supposed to be basically they got Bob sent out the contract. If you didn't get the update on that, I got that about 6:30 this afternoon. Bob sent the contract for the Lomo Rigondeaux fight for December the 9th.
Nice.
Another thing, champ, a guy that's very kind of near and dear to our heart, and he usually finds himself in some very tough fights, and I'm glad to see him. As I said before, we talked about this fight before, Mr. Steve Cunningham coming down to cruiserweight, fighting Khabib. Champ, your thoughts on Steve? We've seen the USS Cunningham around for quite some time now. Steve always manages to bring the fight, no matter what weight division he decides to fight in, be it heavyweights or whatever. When we talk about someone possibly being able to make some noise in the cruiserweight division, is probably starting to be the twilight of their career, do you think that maybe this is a division that Steve should concentrate on in the twilight of his career rather than getting in there with the big boys?
Well, that's a good one, JK. I don't really know if I have an answer for that, man, because I have not gotten to see him spar at the cruiserweight division. I've always been afraid, historically, whenever I've seen fighters that drop down, like say they fought at a weight and then they went up to a weight and tried to come back down, I've never ever seen a good outcome. And so that worries me in that regard, whether or not he'll still be able to pull the trigger at cruiserweight like he used to, because your body, it does some weird things to you when you get older, and it does some weird things to you when you put on weight and then take it off to fight at a weight that you were normally used to fighting at. So, it's gonna be a hard one to say, man. I really don't know. I really don't know what he's going to be able to do.
Jabron, your thoughts on Steve?
I just wish him the best. I'm with the champ. I'll get nervous when they go down. I've seen a lot of people in the past do it, and it wasn't a great thing. Matter of fact, for your cousin, for Chris, I it hurt me to my heart to see him go down, man. That hurt my heart so bad because I really love Chris. I love Chris, man. And, that's just my only concern is about him going down in the weight. With that being said, I know we're coming to the ending of the show, and I'll just leave with my piece. Keep supporting boxing. This week we got PBC Tuesday, Friday. Tune in, support. And one last thing, somebody that if you don't know, go research him, and he'll definitely make a change in your life. Peace, rest in peace, Dick Gregory. And you can find me on Facebook, Jabron Clemon, JABRANCLEMON. Let them know where they can find y'all.
Champ?
Yeah, man. Well, thank you for a shout out to our brother Dick Gregory, man. He was truly someone who was inspiring to a person like myself. He was always a health-conscious guy, was always a guy that was concerned about his people, and he's somebody that I looked up to. So thank you for bringing his name up, man. Because, you know, we need people like that to help navigate us through these hard times that we've always faced in this country. With that being said, I ask also that people will continue to support this great sport of boxing, giving people a chance in life to try to make something of themselves and realize their dreams. So my name is Layman Brewster. You can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And it's Layman Brewster, LamonBrewster. And as always, thank you for having me on the Pugilist Corner. You guys are my family. Thank you, JK. Thank you, Jamal.
Anytime, champ.
Yes, sir.
For my final word, I just want everyone to recognize that this is one of the, as far as the media is concerned, this is one of the greatest times in boxing. We have boxing on a regular basis. The only time that I can remember that we've had this much boxing on a free, somewhat free basis is when we used to have the old ABC Wide World of Sports and the shows that used to come on, Gillette Cavalcade of Sports. We remember all of these things, and we thank the media for excelling and giving these young men a platform where they can get noticed be ambassadors for the sport. So we thank everyone for listening tonight, we look forward to being back Tuesday on the Pugilist Corner. You can listen to me and Jabron, but we'll all be back next week, same time, same place, on the Weekend Wrap. So have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next week.